Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. Got Dr. Henry Cloud here in the studio today. Was reading this morning in 2 Chronicles over there in the 15th chapter when Asa was the king, said that he and the people sought God eagerly and was found by God. And that when they found God, they had rest. They were at peace. Are you looking for God? Are you searching for God? We want to talk to you about that and many other things here today on New Life Live. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I have a weight problem, and I've been struggling all my life with it.
Congratulations on evading the question that I asked you. But
sorry.
I'm not letting you get away with it.
Divorced twice, thousands of dollars in back child support due.
No.
And an estranged relationship with his 20-year-old son.
You'd better have a big list on the positive side there.
Really?
Like cute, nice hair, good teeth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Stevie.
It is good to be with you and good to be with all these wonderful people out there listening.
We do have wonderful people that listen.
They do.
And I love not only talking to our callers, but when we go out there on the road, we just have the coolest listeners.
Yep.
They're cool.
We love them. We love having fun with them. Love the fact that maybe, you know, something we say in a book or a talk or something would have some kind of impact.
I think that happened once.
Yep. Now, Henry, I was talking about when Asa was the king, they got serious about seeking after God. In fact, they all made a covenant that they were going to seek after God, and anybody who didn't seek after God, they were going to kill him.
Yeah, it was pretty serious there.
That's a pretty tough requirement for Bible study. Okay, either, you know, do the assignment this week, or we're going to shoot you,
or you die.
One or the other.
But you know what? It was in a time where, things were upside down.
Yeah, and they had to have that purity, that sense, unified direction.
Exactly, and I think that it's sometimes really helpful to look at some of those stories. Not only for the reality that the historical, you know, this truly happened, but also to use them as a metaphor for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for example, let's say that what was going on in the country then is that the country is you, okay? And you look inside yourself, and you see this stuff going on in life or outside yourself, the stuff that, you know, we get into or get involved in. And we realize that things are upside down and that life's not working and we're under, you know, reaping bad consequences.
Right.
And so we take the stand of one of the kings and say, no more. And you get rid of all things that are dark. You get rid of all things that aren't healthy, and you make a decree, and then you get in the path. And that's what the New Testament says, that all those stories were there to teach us, that there to be examples. And it's really interesting when you read all that, Steve. It's just one theme over and over and over again.
Yeah.
People get in trouble. God comes and delivers them. They promise to be good. They're good for a while. It goes well. And then they start to stray. They get in trouble.
Yeah.
God comes and delivers them. And it's just it's over and over, stay on the path and you will do well.
Well, it says here that when they sought God and found him, they were at peace. They had a peace that they would not have had in any other way. I think that's our problem. You talk about the big split. We're seeking God and we're seeking the pleasures of the world and all the other things that we can pull off here without God, and we don't have peace. But we can have it. We seek him, and the way you can do that is just setting aside a little time in the morning for prayer, for Bible study, finding a place to get with some other people of like mind and connect over his truth. All right, we're going to connect with you on the phone right after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, my name is Shelley Martinkus, and I'm so excited to share a brand new workshop we are offering here at New Life. It's called Restore, and it's for women looking for hope and healing after betrayal. Its design complements the men's experience at Every Man's Battle. You will leave with support, practical tools to get you through your recovery, as well as a deeper understanding of who you are and what you need. There is hope and there is redemption waiting for you and your marriage. I hope to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Denver April 21st through the 23rd. If your heart has been shattered by sexual betrayal, find hope, develop healing connections, and discover a path towards restoration and wholeness. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go online to newlife.com. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. You know, Henry and I were talking about, the gospel at the break. You know, Henry, a lot of people go, well, what do these people care about? You know, psychology, Freud, all this. But we really care about people coming to Christ. That's where our heart is.
Well, you know, if you're in psychology, right, you're there to help people. That's kind of what a psychologist does.
Right.
And you're also there because I think the good people in psychology are there primarily because they have a motivation to help people, but secondarily because they really have an interest in the way that life works and the way that the mind works and the way that relationships work and this, that, and the other. And when you begin to look far enough into that, if you are an honest seeker, the farther you go down that road in looking for truth, what you're going to find is you're going to box yourself into this corner, because the corner is that you're going to find that relationship is the primary thing in the universe and that nothing gets well without it. And you're going to find that forgiveness is the healing agent. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find that to begin to make life work, we have to take responsibility and live in freedom and not trespass one against the other. Yeah. And you're going to find that to be healthy, you got to stop the trespassing both against you and by you. And then you start to sound a lot like you're reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about what is good psychology, you know, basically it's about, I say this a lot when I talk to people who don't believe in Jesus and they have a problem with Christianity. Okay, here's what he said. Here's what he talked about. Love, freedom, forgiveness, responsibility, making peace, coming out of the darkness, making life work, grasping your talents, putting them into practice, transcending the muck and mire that you see in the bad senses of what people do. Which of those things do you have a problem with? And so that's why, you know, over and over and over we say to people, look, no matter what you've heard about God or about Christianity, go see what he himself says. Yep. Read his book. Go read the New Testament and see what in there do you have a problem with.
Amen.
You won't find anything.
Thank you. Let's go to Amanda in Waco, Texas. KBBW is the station. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to New Life.
Hello.
What's going on in your life today, Amanda?
Thank y'all for your show and taking my call. I have an unusual. I've heard several things, you know, that kind of repeat itself on your show, and I kept hoping maybe you would come up with something like mine, but I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
You mean you're calling with something we've never heard before?
That I haven't heard you say. Doesn't mean you've never heard it. I belong to a church group, and they're an awesome group of church family, and they've really tried to help me with this, but I feel like there's so many people telling me different things, and I'm getting kind of lost.
What church you go to?
It's a Church of Christ.
Okay.
And I've been praying for discernment, but my son, who is six, he tells me that he sees spirits. He doesn't call them spirits, though.
What is, give me his words.
He asked me, did I see him? And I said, see who? And he said, the man with the hole in him walking by him. I said, well, a hole in him where? And he says, you know, like in his chest, or, you know, he had a big hole through him. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And so I've had people say, well, maybe he has mental problems and he needs to see a psychiatrist. Well, either way it goes, I've been advised to take him to counseling, and I agree with that, but I don't...
Have you done that? I've once, but yesterday.
But I'm facing...
To a psychiatrist or to whom?
To a counselor.
What's a counselor?
Psychologist.
Like a licensed psychologist?
Yes, sir. She's a Christian counselor, but I just want to make sure that... I mean, that's such a delicate subject, and I can't find enough material on it to help me.
Tell me more of exactly what he reports to you. Because he's not saying to you, I see spirits.
No.
He's saying to you, I see things.
Yeah, he says there's something around him the other day, and he said, I can't get away from it. I keep running, and he was just really upset and distorted, and we prayed about it, and I said, do you feel any better? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what was, you know, what was this around you? And he said, it just kept telling me things. And I said, like what, you know? And sometimes he'll clam up, and sometimes he'll tell me what he says this told him. And it's not like, you know, go off and kill someone. It's just, he said, it won't leave him alone.
But what do they tell him? What do the voices tell him?
He won't tell me a whole lot of it.
What does he tell you?
That... One of them told him that God was like a slide, and I don't understand what that even means. And sometimes, you know, that's the problem I have. When he tells me something, I'm kind of lost going.
So they're talking to him?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is not something I kind of grew up believing in, or I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, has he had exposure to anything that you think could account for this?
No, everyone keeps asking me if I know if he's been abused or something, and that's kind of starting to make me panic now.
Well, not necessarily abuse, but I mean, does...
It's like, okay.
Anything. You know, does he watch, like, movies or videos that could have this kind of thing in it? Does he, you know, what... I don't know what his life is like.
No, I'm pretty strict on what he watches and what my kids do. He's a middle child.
All right. Well, Amanda, the first thing, I think we always start with, you know, what is the most plausible and logical and kind of common explanation for things.
Right.
And a lot of times when children have things going on inside of them that they don't know how to process and put words to, then they do begin to, you know, kind of make up figures sometimes to contain those thoughts and to contain those feelings and those fears. Okay, that doesn't mean that that's what's happening here, but that would be the most logical. And then sometimes the mind can actually put pressure, in a sense, when there's enough stress, to begin to even hear things that aren't there or see things that aren't there. And there are certain kinds of illnesses that can cause this. Okay?
Okay.
That's why the first thing I would do is I would take him to a good, in addition to the psychologist, I would find a good pediatric psychiatrist, because you just want to rule out anything neurological or biological that can cause things like this. People have hallucinations. That's a real medical fact. Okay?
So you don't think biblically there's any way anything like that exists, or you're just saying rule it out?
Biblically, what exists?
That
biological problems?
No, like that he could really hear, that, you know, spirits could really talk to someone, or...
Well, certainly. I think that there are spirits out there that can talk to people. But my experience, my clinical experience in literally, you know, I want to say thousands of cases is that the majority of the time there are very naturalistic and treatable explanations for a lot of these things that people that have never seen those naturalistic occurrences jump to the conclusion that this is something, you know, spiritual, and it's not.
Okay.
People hear voices, for example, that have nothing to do with spirits. And there are ways to treat those. People see things that have nothing to do with spirits. And yet there are You know, the Bible tells us, and experience also tells us, that there are spirit beings in the world. I'm just saying that that you want to rule out what's going on inside of his head.
Okay.
You know, does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And the word pediatrics is really important. When I wanted to do some testing on Madeline, I found the professor of pediatrics at University of California, Irvine, who has worked with thousands of kids over 40 years. I found the best that I could, and that's what you want to do. You don't want somebody who just started working with kids last year.
Exactly. And Amanda, you're in a place there where they have great resources. You know,
and I know
the town that you're in. And again, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't strange things that go on in the universe, and I would certainly soak this kid in prayer, and I would have, you know, lots of people, and I would teach him how to pray, and tell him that when he's afraid or he sees things, that ask, you know, teach him how to ask God to make him go away and to make him safe and to come to you and this and the other. My hunch is that part of the reason also that it's possible that these things get better when he talks is because he's around you and being comforted. And that's what we see sometimes when these are anxiety-based and not spirit-based. So, you know, I'm not against seeing it your way. I'm just saying that
I'm just asking.
Know, it's a lot better to rule out. You don't want to miss anything psychological, emotional, or biological, because if you miss it, then you're going to miss it.
Because he's come back and said things to other people, and I know that that's causing him to start to be isolated.
Yeah.
Like he told his grandfather that he said, "I know what you said. I know what you thought about that person, and." I'm telling you, you're not supposed to say that, and you're not supposed to think that way. And so,
what did his grandfather say?
Well, he was a little freaked out. He said, "Oh, I thought he was just kind of guessing what I was thinking, and I don't know. You know, maybe he is guessing. I don't know."
Was he right?
I asked my dad that. He said yes.
Was it the kind of thing that, you know, kids intuit all the time about how people feel, or was it like material information he'd have no way of knowing?
No, I think it would probably be more, my father was thinking someone about a worker that was not doing something correctly, and he was real irritated.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's...
kind of thing.
See, that's the kind of thing you got to rule out, because when kids have flimsy boundaries and they begin to have highly intuitive oversensitivities to how other people feel and stuff like that, then that's where they never know what's inside their head and what isn't. So I would just want all of that, you know, looked at in some way.
All right, let me send you Henry and John's book, Raising Great Kids. Hope this is helpful to you. And, all we're saying, really, Henry, is rule out the most likely logical reasons for something to happen before you jump to a supernatural, weird, strange conclusion.
And for good reason, because if you've got a child or anybody, for example, that's subject to hallucinations, you want to know that.
You bet.
Because, you know, especially getting a thing like command hallucinations, and that can get scary. That's where they begin to hallucinate things that tell them to go do things.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm glad you called, and we'll try to
find... Which it doesn't sound like he has, but
no,
it's just a
yet.
Principle.
Well, we'll try to hook you up with someone here, and so hold on, and we'll do that. Let's go to Kathy from Denison, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there.
I wanted to ask you guys about compulsive overeating. I went to therapy.
Us?
What'd you say?
You caught us?
Did I say that?
Well, why else would you ask us?
We're not compulsive overeaters. We're compulsive snackers.
We're not compulsive overeaters. We're just good at it.
I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's okay.
It's okay. We're kidding.
Okay, so what's going on?
Well, I went to therapy like 15 years ago because I was eating so compulsively. I really almost thought I was possessed by demons. It was so bad.
How old are you?
How old are you? I'm 50.
You're 50, and so the first time you did anything about this was you were 35.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was when my husband finally let me go to therapy for it. But it didn't take long into therapy when I found out that I had sexual abuse I needed to deal with.
He let you go?
Yeah.
We're not going to just skip over that. What do you mean? You wanted to go for a long time and he wouldn't let you, quote, unquote?
Well, he's a doctor, and when he went through medical school and he went through the psychiatry part, he just saw a lot of wacko psychiatrists. That's what he called them.
Mm-hmm. What is he?
And he dealt with a lot. He saw a lot of schizophrenics and that kind of patients, you know. And so he had a pretty bad impression of the whole field. Anyway,
what kind of doctor is he?
A pathologist.
Pathologist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway, I dealt with a lot of sexual abuse, and I had a lot of it, about 15 years worth of it. So it's taken a long time, you know, to get past that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have an eating thing, and I feel it's such a bondage in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still...
Are you still being treated for all the other stuff?
Hold on.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, Dr. Henry Cloud. And we're talking to Kathy. And Kathy, you really are upset over this compulsive eating problem that won't go away. Now, what have you done to try to fix this?
Well, I've tried just about every diet out there. I've gone to OA, and I've had some success there.
What do you mean you've gone to OA?
Well,
like, did you?
I've been a member there.
And you worked the program?
Yeah.
Did you go to?
Yeah.
How often would you go to groups?
At least twice a week. I drive to Plano to go.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a good group here.
How long did you do that?
Oh gosh, probably 2 years.
Were you able to do an abstinence maintenance program?
Yeah, I never found a good sponsor.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's probably part of the problem.
Have you thought about...
That's a big part of the problem. Yeah.
Have you thought about Lose It for Life?
Yeah. I don't know if my husband would pay for it.
Would let you come? I think that's what you said.
Yeah, let me come.
We're going to slap him around. Okay?
No.
Get him on the phone.
Somebody's going to hear this and say, oh, my God, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, is that all you've done? You went to OA for a couple of years. How long ago?
It's probably been about 3 years now.
Okay.
But I'm 80 pounds overweight now, and I feel like I'm killing myself.
Well, Kathy, normally this kind of problem does not get solved by diets, you know, apart from any kind of program that involves all the ingredients that you need.
I've heard y'all, I know.
It's just true. I mean, we're not making that up. That's just what all the research shows, that there are several components to successfully losing weight, and that when people work those components, for the most part, they successfully lose weight.
Yeah.
So it's not rocket science, but it's science.
Yeah.
It's not something that nobody can do, but it's something that somebody must do.
Right.
And where people get discouraged is that they think losing weight has to do with going on a diet and keeping a diet, and that's the worst way to try to lose weight. The way to lose weight is to get into a process and work the process, and then the weight begins to go away. But that process has got to involve structure. It's got to involve support. It's got to involve some awareness of what you're eating and some kind of, you know, plan that's kind to you. It's got to involve some learning about that. And it's got to involve something that's available to you kind of moment by moment, like a sponsor or like a few people that you can call on. It's going to involve some kind of structured, you know, kind of looking at life. And it's basically about the way that you would want to live if you were skinny.
Yeah.
And what fat people do to get skinny is they start to live like skinny people do. You know,
yeah.
They're involved in relationships and exercise and life. And so it's not really about the weight. The weight is a result of getting into a better life.
And, you know, if you've heard the Lose It for Life people talk, some of them talk about losing 100 pounds or more. Others talk about, well, I haven't lost all the weight I want to lose, but I love the life I'm living now.
And they're confident that the weight is going to go away.
Life is
doing it slowly.
It's getting better. They don't feel helpless and hopeless. So that's what we want for you, so that you're not in this place. But you're going to have to work out some things with your husband so that you could come and experience what these folks are experiencing, where they're not defined by their weight anymore.
Right.
Kathy, what does this dynamic with your husband have to do with all this? You guys have some control battles going on there?
What did you say?
Do you have some control battles going on between the two?
We have a
of
lack
you?
Of connection and a lack of intimacy and a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of sadness when you talk about that.
Yeah.
Have you done anything about that? What do the two of you do about that?
We've worked on it some in therapy.
Are you in therapy now?
Right now, we're not in couples therapy. We just hit a wall.
Well, when you hit a wall, you get a higher ladder. I mean, you know, you bring more skill to it from somewhere.
I know.
But see, you've given us enough hints that something's going on there. And I think for his sake and for your sake, it'd be good to focus on that again, because you have a lot of pain in there. And my hunch is, if you're isolated and alone and feel disconnected from him, then you fill it with food, probably.
Yeah. We both hate conflict. And
I bet you also hate feeling trapped.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're trapped in your body and trapped in your marriage. And it's going to take a little bit of courage for you to get out of that.
Yeah.
I want you to hold on. Let us tell you about Lose It for Life, okay?
Okay.
I really think it's going to be the thing that'll turn this around for you. You are listening to New Life Live. Dr. Henry Cloud, he is the author of What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do with John Townsend. That is our gift to you, our support gift. When you say that we want to be a part of the giving family of New Life, we send that to you. is our way of saying thank you. And if God's leading you that direction, please support the ministry. Our resource is Moments for Single. It's a devotional book by Lee McElroy. If you're single, you will love this. It's part of the New Life Meditation Series. And we have free tips, 7 steps to loving and being loved. They're free at newlife.com and 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back for the second half of New Life Live.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Dallas March 10th through the 12th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone numbers, I mean your phone calls at the phone number that we offer, but you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Let's see if Steve is there.
Let's see if Steve's there. Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
Good. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm driving a big truck, and I'm listening to your program. I listen to it when I'm over in Dallas and near, you know, where I can pick you up.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I'll tell you the truth. I'm a recovering drug addict, and if I make it to September, I'll have 4 years clean.
Go, Steve.
And I go to NA, and I got a sponsor, and I'm working my steps and all, but I still can't get no self-esteem.
Hmm.
I was a junkie. I got real bad on the stuff. I had to go to the penitentiary a couple times. And I believe in God. When I was in jail and fixing to go to the penitentiary, they was telling me how they were going to, you know, how it was down there. And I was scared to death. And I got down and I prayed to God. And I asked him, I said, just show me that there's a God. And I was in a locked-up cell in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Hmm.
And a gust of wind come through there and blew my hair back and took my breath. And it scared me to death. So, you know, I know there's a God.
A gust of wind with no window, huh?
Yeah, they had plexiglass over the windows, so, you know, I believe in God, and I know there's a God.
Hey, Steve, you know, we tell people that all the time, that, look, don't get hung up on all the intellectual questions that you don't have answers to. You just look up at the sky, and you ask him if he's there, and ask Jesus if he is alive to come talk to you and reveal himself to you, and he promises that he will, and you're just one more testimony of that.
Alrighty. Yeah, I've been learning how to pray and all that, and he's took the craving for drugs away from me. I'm 48, and I've done drugs all my life through high school and stuff. But
well, so how can we help you?
I just don't know how to get no self-esteem. I'm holding down a job now, and I mean, my life, everybody around me tells me my life's getting better mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but...
When you say you can't get any self-esteem, what do you mean? You feel bad about yourself, like you're a loser?
Well,
or?
Yeah, I feel like a loser, or I feel filthy. And a lot of times I wonder if I'm brain dead from doing so much dope.
Do you walk around with a lot of critical kind of voices in your head as you talk to yourself?
No. They put me on Zoloft, an antidepressant, after I got clean.
Yeah.
I went into a real bad depression, and I take Zoloft, but it's, you know, I'm not giving up. You know, I know it.
You're working?
Yeah, I'm holding down a job.
Okay, so you're clean, you're holding down a job, you're yeah. working the program, you're staying connected to a community, you got people in your life.
Yeah.
And yet, you're feeling like you're not good enough?
Yeah, in a way. It's like I still feel filthy.
But what does that mean? What does filthy mean? For things you've done?
Yeah, for the things that I've done. And, you know, I know God died for us, and He forgives us. But I don't know. It's kind of like I hadn't forgave myself over it, all the stuff I'd done to my body and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, Steve, let me ask you a different question. Who has forgiven you?
Jesus.
Okay. That's one.
I feel
Jesus. He's a big one. But
forgiven me?
Jesus has forgiven you. He totally has washed you and accepts you just like you are. But what other person around in your life do you have looking at you and knowing everything and putting their arms around you and saying, Steve, I love you?
Yeah, all of the people in my recovery class, they're in NA.
Yeah.
I know, you know, they love me and they come up to me and hug me, and everywhere I go now, if I run into people I hadn't seen in a long time, they said, man, Steve, you're looking so much better. And I
Okay, now why isn't that getting through?
I don't know.
What's the block there? Because, see, self-esteem doesn't come from yourself.
Okay,
what people call self-esteem, which really is kind of a little bit of a misnomer, it's kind of how you look at yourself and perceive yourself. Basically, that comes from how we are treated and perceived by other people. You know, if you're early in life, if you're valued and loved and people, you know, are happy that you're around, kids grow up with feeling pretty good about themselves. If they're put down and criticized and nobody believes in them, they feel crummy about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was raised up that way. I mean, my mom and dad both were alcoholics, and my dad would beat me and stuff like that. But, I mean, I've worked through that. He's clean now, and I'm clean, and we
okay.
do get along, and I love my dad, you know. But I don't know, like, when I look in the mirror, I still think I'm an ugly person.
All right.
I don't know why.
Steve, here's what I would like for you to do.
Yes, sir.
I would like for you to continue, you know, all that you're doing. You're on a great path here. But I'd like for you to add something to it.
Okay?
I would like for you to get another, like, just, you know, small group, for example, of a couple of guys. And y'all start meeting regularly as well, and get a good workbook to go through,
okay.
where you begin to talk about some of the things you've experienced in life, and you guys begin to know each other, you know, at really deep levels, and you experience what James 5:16 says is when we confess our faults to one another so that we may be healed. And pray for one another so that we may be healed. It says that something starts to happen there that I think in a big group may not be happening at a deep enough level. And I think you need to know what you never knew as a little boy, that people see you just as you are and that you're okay. I don't know if you've ever really experienced that at some of the levels you need to experience it.
All righty.
And that's the way out of the self-esteem trap. Okay. It's kind of a, you know, people try to feel better about themselves by doing good or talking to themselves. That's not the way out. We need to be loved out of it.
Well, I'm excited for you to put those kind of feelings on top of this responsible guy. He stayed clean 4 years. He's working.
Yeah.
I think you can have a really good life here.
Yeah.
One that you never dreamed you could have.
You know, yeah, really my life, I look at it and I'm shocked. Me and my girlfriend just had new carpet put through our house, paint on the inside, and I just went and bought a brand new truck. And I mean, I've got material things that, you know, I wouldn't have never thought I'd be able to get. But,
well,
I'm lacking something. I just, you know, I was hoping maybe y'all could tell me what I needed to do.
Well, I think you need to get into a little more focused program of spiritual growth. Now, you're living with your girlfriend?
Well, yeah, we're fixing to get married. We're going to get married in October this year.
You kind of got the cart there before the horse a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, Steve, have you got a spiritual advisor in your life that can help kind of make that right?
Yeah, one of my sponsors, he's a preacher there in Fort Smith.
Well, what's the preacher saying to you about that?
He keeps telling me we need to get married.
Yeah, well, why don't you get the cart before the horse there, or the horse before the cart?
All right.
And, you know, you're going to start to feel better also about yourself when you're kind of, you know, living with good integrity according to the things that you profess, and that'll help you as well. But we're pulling for you, and, you know, it's just an awesome story. We'd love to hear.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you have a Life Recovery Bible?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I'm in a recovery class there where I go to church at Evangel Temple.
Yeah.
And they gave me one of them Bibles.
All right. We're going to send you a copy of Changes That Heal and the workbook, and that's what I would suggest you sit down and go through with your friends.
All righty. Steve, God bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Hold on. You know, Henry.
Hey, there ain't no place in the world that God can't find you. He's in a cell with plexiglass on the windows going to the penitentiary and says, God, are you there?
Yeah.
And God shows up.
That's right. So great. Glad he called. Steve, hope people will pray for you. Know that they will. Henry, the other day, a magazine asked me to do this thing about what books am I reading, what books have made an impact. I wrote down Changes That Heal. It's such a great book. I hope if you folks haven't read it, you will get Henry's book, Changes That Heal. It really is foundationally significant to your life. All right, we're going to come back for the final segment of New Life Live.
March the 10th, Take Your Life Back is in Dallas. You can transform your life in 2 days, right there.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity.
impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterman here with Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find out about the Everyman's Battle Workshop. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Leroy, Tulsa, Oklahoma, KCFO's the station. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
Doing all right.
Hey, I was listening to your show like a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some comment about maybe you had a struggle with infertility.
Yes.
And that's one of those questions men don't like to talk about a whole lot.
Right.
So I was just wondering how you dealt with that or how you handled that.
I grieved it. It was painful. It was not, you know, I have a degree in elementary education. I love children. I didn't know, you know, what was going on there. 7 years we struggled with that. And then we went a different direction and adopted the most incredible daughter any man has ever been able to raise, ever.
So you adopted?
Uh-huh.
Good. Good.
And I love her more than you could ever know. It's just unbelievable.
Right.
I believe God intended that little girl to be mine.
Well, this a question that goes along with it. My wife and I have checked out different options, you know, like adoption.
Yeah.
Which can kind of be lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering what you thought about a sperm bank.
Well, if I was going to go to a sperm bank, I would want to know who made the deposit.
Right.
I would want to know a little bit about that.
Right.
But, you know, I've got some friends that they went through infertility, and they really felt like that, you know, they shouldn't have kids. And they went off and did some ministry stuff that they would have never been able to do if they'd had kids. So I'm not just saying the only way to heal is to adopt a child or
right.
to have a child, but that's how I dealt with it. I think you just seek God. You read His Word. You get involved with other people who've been through infertility, and you get some support, and you make good decisions.
Sometimes I think I'm looking for an Abraham Sarah experience. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I tell you, there sure are a lot of children out there that need to be adopted into loving homes, and I would sure look at that before I'd look at the sperm bank decision.
Okay. My wife had some questions about it, but, you know, just whether it would be right or not, you know, something like that. And how you would tell the child later on, you know.
That the child came out of account number 279,000 or something.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'd want to know the history behind the donor, those kinds of things. And again, I just think there are so many kids that need parents.
Right. But do you see anything wrong with sperm bank as such?
You know, I've never really thought it through. I'd have to. Henry, what do you think?
Intuitively, I would have a problem, but, you know, sometimes you think through these mm-hmm. ethical and moral dilemmas, come to different conclusions. I would suggest, you know who I would look up, Leroy? There's a guy named Scott Ray, who's a bioethicist at Talbot Seminary, Biola okay. University, and he's written a bunch on all sorts of things like this, and Scott's a good friend of ours, and why don't you look at some of the things that he's written. His last name is Ray, R-A-E.
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
R-A-E. And okay. If you went to Talbot, probably, or Biola.org, you'd probably find him there, or you could find his books, you know.
Okay.
Anywhere.
All right.
All right.
But
Thank you.
It seems like intuitive. I've never even heard the Christian ethicist on this. It's not something I've dealt with. Intuitively, it seems like kind of outside the marriage to me, but, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
God bless you there. And, you know, let's just go to Jessica real quick. Are you still there, Jessica?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a quick question. We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call.
Well, I love your show, but I don't know. My husband is an avoidance workaholic type, and I read the Word, and, I mean, I study it, and God keeps just nagging at me. I'm not sure if it's God. I mean, I've heard God talking to me before. He's pointed out in Matthew where he says to the birds of the air, surely I will take care of them, and I will take care of you as well. And so he's talked to me before through the Word, but lately, I don't know if this is just me being, I don't know, just wanting to
okay, gotta ask
get on
question,
with my life,
you gotta ask
or if this is God's will. I don't know how to tell whether this is God's will to relocate or not.
Okay.
Because there's
relocate.
Been physical abuse.
What does that have to do with
there's
your husband?
There's been pornography, and now he's stopped the physical abuse, and I don't know about the pornography. I mean, I can't keep tabs on him. And
do you, when you say physically relocate, you mean to leave him?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jessica, have you tried anything with him, you know, involved in the program of changing this?
We went to two counselors.
What happened?
Last one, he said, he told my husband, you need to set a date with your wife. You need to date her. He told him what he needed to do. My husband wouldn't do any of it.
Okay.
My husband went to to anger management. He wouldn't finish any of the anger management classes.
Okay. Why don't we do this? It's probably, we're out of time, and it's a little more involved than we'll be able to help you with. We'll let you talk to somebody off the air. But generally speaking, the best thing to do is, you know, if you're in danger or getting hurt in some way, then you have the kind of boundaries and limits where you don't allow that anymore. You might have to move out or something. But all of those kinds of strategies should be in the service of trying, you know, as best you can to get him to come around. And sometimes that's not possible, but a lot of times it is. We'll talk to somebody off the air.
And we'll send you boundaries in marriage. I know there you always recommend that section on the resistant spouse there. Hope that'll be of help to you. If you are in need of Christian counseling, if you've been wondering, maybe sitting down with somebody who knows what they're talking about and they're a Christian, maybe that might help a little bit here. Well, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you. You know, as I started the program, I was talking about seeking God and being found and having rest and peace. And I just hope and pray that in your daily life you will incorporate time away to read God's Word, time away to pray and to listen to what God is saying to you, and that in all that you would do, that you would be saying, God, what is it that is your best for me? You'd be asking that question and realize, you know, you're human. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. And we've got to just pick ourselves back up, get involved with people, reconnect. And don't use any mistake or failure as an excuse to give up. God is there for you, just like he was there for David after David's big adultery. God didn't give up on David. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some encouragement or help. We sure do want to give that to you. There are some great people there who really all they want to do is find the right resource for folks that are in trouble. And don't go another day without getting the help that you need, or at least finding out if there is help that can help you. If you need our resource, Moments for Singles by Lee McElroy, it's part of our New Life devotion series, New Life Live Meditations. And if you're single, these are great devotionals for you. And our free tip, 7 Steps to Loving and Being Loved. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come be a part of the New Life family. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.